today on Real Radio.
If somebody says to you, oh, Bible prophecy is scary, we don't get into that, that person knows nothing about 27% of the Bible God gives us to encourage us about the end. You need to know that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Arriving, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Again, thanks for joining us today. In these last few chapters, Isaiah goes on to describe a future time when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom here on earth. But whether we're looking for the past, the present, or things yet to come, we're reminded of God's amazing love and patience that he has towards us and towards the nation of Israel. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 61, we learned that God sent his son Jesus Christ to restore us. His desire is for us to be whole and healed. He comforts all those who come to him and spiritually holds our hand through the hard times. The Lord does this for us, and he wants us to do the same for others. Christianity works when we choose to get involved in restoring the lives of others. We can do this by showing God's love and by sharing what we know. So today in Isaiah chapter 62, Pastor Jack wants to encourage the believer not to fear Bible prophecy when it speaks about the end times. Think about it. God didn't commit a quarter of the Bible towards prophecy in order to scare us, but to prepare us. We really should try to understand what the Bible says to discern what the political voices of our day are telling us. And now, in his lesson called Arriving, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This is an amazing chapter because it speaks, it stands alone. It's its own sermon. It needs no elaboration. It needs no help. And Father, I guess the big thing from here on out on these Wednesday nights is, Lord, give us a mind and a heart, feet and hands to do what we're hearing and to get excited. Our world is hurting for a lack of hope. People are struggling because they see no purpose to life. And Lord, I'm asking you that you would anoint us all to be students of your word. That is to receive light. That is to receive hope. That is to understand forgiveness, grace, salvation. In the midst of this world, dear God, give us clarity. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So tonight, and I don't know for how long, but I'm going to just kind of harbor ourselves around the title of these Wednesday nights. I'm just going to call it Arriving. If you would put that in your notes, perhaps, if you're going to take notes, Arriving. You see, Jack, what do you mean by that? We're going to be now in Isaiah in the closing out of this book where Isaiah is speaking to us about the culmination of the world as we know it, friends. Listen, as the world goes, Isaiah now in these closing chapters is going to announce to us that it's going to close out. There's going to be a conclusion. And when we talk about that, the Bible's very, very exact, very specific on how this is going to look. When I say what arriving or arrival means, I'm talking about the close out of human existence as we know it now, the second coming of Christ as he puts an end to the tribulation period that the Bible says is 7 years long. It's specifically dealing with the nation of Israel. It involves the world, but it's God's dialing down, focusing on the nation of Israel. I'm going to stress this a lot tonight. You need to hear it a lot tonight, and I'm going to be going somewhere with this tonight, and that is the name Israel. That is the name Jerusalem, and it's vitally important you hear that as Bible students. And if the opportunity lends itself tonight, we may even, if I can do this, we might even open up with some questions if you have them, if it comes about the way that I'd like it to be like. So the arriving part of God's word, we're talking about a succession, as it were, or waves of God's prophetic fulfillment toward the end. And so it all began with Isaiah chapter 60, where we saw there in chapter 60 that what we were hearing was the beginning of the chronological end of humanity as we know it. Everyone has heard growing up, no matter how old or how young you might be, you've heard people say, you've seen it in books or movies about the end of the world. There seems to be this thing within man that there's a timepiece, almost a clock, that has announced to mankind that there's an end coming. And that's true. The Bible says there is an end coming. But if you're a Christian tonight, you need to understand the Bible. The end for the believer is the beginning for the believer. And you need to know that. When we talk about the end times, when we talk about Bible prophecy, it is a lame, pathetic understanding of the Bible that would bring you to the place of fearful or being scared or sad about Bible prophecy. If somebody says to you, oh, Bible prophecy is scary, we don't get into that, that person knows nothing about 27% of the Bible God gives us to encourage us about the end. You need to know that. Why would God have over 27% of his book committed to Bible prophecy if it wasn't for a point? And I steal from Dr. Ed Heinsohn, who says, God didn't give us Bible prophecy to scare us, but to prepare us. So beware of people who don't want to teach on it, people who would rather skip over it because simply they don't understand it. It's sad. God wouldn't have wasted more than a quarter of his Bible. No, there's a succession and or waves of Bible revelation that's coming, and God's word is very, very clear about that. And so I'm going to give you a few things getting us ready for tonight, but the Bible says that God is not finished. For example, tonight as we read, you're going to hear a lot about Israel, a lot about Jerusalem, and I need you to know this. God says in the Bible, he is not done with the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, or the Jew. Now, if you're 30 years of age in this room or you're watching right now, you've heard otherwise. You've heard otherwise from your university campus. You have heard that God is done with the Jews, that there are no Jews. In fact, the Jews that are now are illegitimate Jews. Did you know that's a talking point that's out there now? Illegitimate Jews. Listen, there are Christians, there are church leaders I will not name publicly that say that Israel is an illegitimate state and has no viable existence today. Christian leaders in America and in Europe today. They say it's all false. In fact, some of those whose names I will not mention that you know are now saying that Jesus himself was a Palestinian. He was never a Jew. He was never out of Israel. Now, you can go search and see who's saying that and the conferences that they're hosting and what they're doing to the word of God and to the promises of God. But we're going to address this from the Bible. This is part of Bible prophecy, believe it or not. But the Jew is not going anywhere. Now, according to the Bible, he's got tremendous persecution coming. Do you guys know that? Israel is going to be severely persecuted by the nations of the world. We'll see this tonight. We'll talk about this more tonight. The future of Israel, according to the Bible and Jesus, is a brutal short-term future, according to the Bible. But they will survive. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ returns in the second coming, he will establish them and they will never be moved. They will never, never be uprooted from their land. But even now that they've been brought back into the land of Israel in 1948, they're not leaving. A portion of them will flee in the tribulation period to a place called Selah, S-E-L-A, S-E-L-A in your Old Testament. We know it today archaeologically as Petra. Petra is in the Heshemite kingdom of Jordan today. S-E-L-A in your Old Testament. During the tribulation period, the Jews will flee to that place and God will protect them. But Christ is coming back, friends. Listen, listen, everybody. You've read your Bible? The Bible says, and it has always said, in the Old Testament and the New, that when Jesus returns, he returns to Israel and directly to, specifically, Jerusalem. This is what the Bible says. Now, right now, as we get into our study tonight, you're going to have to either choose between the voices of political correctness or your Bible. You're going to have to choose between what God's word says or what your professor is telling you at school. You will either believe what the Bible says in Genesis 12, where it says to bless Abraham and his descendants, or you're going to embrace the BDS movement, the boycott, diversify, and sanction movement. Have you ever heard of it? How many of you ever heard of BDS? Raise your hands. Oh my goodness, okay. It's all over the world. And by the way, I'm very happy that there's a company that set up shop in Chino Hills that boycotts Israel, does not believe they're in their existence. And when I found that out, I stopped going to them. And then I started praying for their demise. And I'm happy to say that they went out of business, and I had nothing to do with it, but my God did, that they are anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and anti-Jew. And they wound up going out of business. In fact, they're not doing well in America. But why is this? It's not a politic. It's not an economic issue. It is a spiritual issue. And you need to know that. So I want to give you this quote, and you can see it on the screens, and we'll get into our study tonight. This is by Mark Twain. And Mark Twain he had visited Israel. Mark Twain is interesting to say the least, but listen to what he says. The Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other people have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he has always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies. All things are mortal, but the Jew. All other forces pass, but the Jew remains. What is the secret of the Jew's immortality? Mark Twain wrote back in 18 something or other. What a tremendous statement. What a tremendous statement. By the way, name an empire. Go ahead, out loud. Name an empire that that has marked its place in history. Roman Empire. More. Babylonian. Keep going. Persian. Grecian Empire. Come on, there's a lot. Ottoman Empire. Good. Egyptian Empire. Assyrian Empire. Very good. Philistine. Don't know if they had an empire, but where's the Philistine? None of you are Philistines tonight. You could go on and on because the empires of human history are vast. Where are they? Where are you? Gone. Gone from the pages. Gone from the scene. Only found interesting at the end of an archaeological shovel. The Jew has continued from the beginning. Think of it. Think of the Third Reich, Hitler, and the extermination of the Jews, yet they survived. On and on it goes. Of every empire that has taken them captive throughout the world history, the Jew survives. That alone right there should cause the atheist in the crowd or viewing tonight to sit up and take notice. The Jew is not going to go away. God will not allow it. His name is staked upon the existence of the Jewish people. There's a reason why spiritually they're the most hated people on the planet Earth. It's spiritual. Before some people group or some ethnic group rises up and says, we've been so persecuted, no one has experienced the persecution as the Jew. No one. No one comes close. Why? In their association with God and their rejection of God's blessings, Deuteronomy 28, God foretold all this would happen, not to the Canadian, not to the Californian, but to the Jew. If the Jew followed God, he would be blessed beyond all people. And if he denied the God that gave him existence, that very Jew or that nation of Israel would be the most cursed. But one thing is certain, they are a dynamic. So when we talk about arriving, look at verse 1 as we march through this chapter 62. It's a very small chapter, but we see this. Arriving really is God's ultimate fulfillment regarding, listen, Zion. Verse 1 says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. Mark it down right there. Number one, God ultimately makes his fulfillment of his word in what we call or speak of in the future and in now, Zion. Write it down in your notes, Zion. You want to raise eyebrows in the Muslim world, mention the word Zion. They can't handle it. I understand why they can't handle it. The way that they've been taught, Zion cannot exist. You understand that? If you're Muslim tonight, Zion, the term Zionist, Zionism, anyone connected with Zion, whatever, is anathema to the Islamic mind. Why? Because the word Zion is given to us by God in the Bible. And it's God's term. Listen, God's the one who called his land Zion. It's not a man-made invention. Listen, for some of you who are in college campus, what I'm saying to you right now, your ears are burning right now. You're like, what? I never heard such a thing. You think that's a human invention. God invented the name and the place Zion. It is a specific location south and west of the Temple Mount area of Mount Moriah, Zion. It's very particular. God points it out in the Bible. It's a geographical spot in Israel today. Always has been. Zion. The Bible here says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. Notice the M in your Bibles. If you have a study Bible and a good, healthy, strong Bible that's sensitive to the Hebrew language, you have a capital M on my. You should check your Bible and see if that's there in verse 1. Who's speaking? If it's a capital M, who's talking? God's talking. God is saying, I am not going to be quiet and hold my peace regarding Zion. As we approach the last days in the book of Isaiah 62 and the future fulfillment, listen to this. God is announcing, I am working, I'm going to dial down in all of the world and all of the globe of all the nations, I'm going to dial down on a geographical place and a geographical people. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. This is God speaking, and he's passionate about his people. He loves them. Are you Jewish tonight? Chances are, if you're Jewish tonight, you do not believe in your God that we believe in. We are the Gentiles that are to provoke you to jealousy about your God. We know your God. Most Jews don't. They say they're Jewish, but they don't worship him. Did you know that? And you guys know what the word Jew means, right? Do you know the meaning? Jew means to be a worshiper of God. So Jews will call themselves Jews, but they don't worship the God of the Bible. Many Jews will say, I don't believe in God. I thought you said you're a Jew. I am a Jew, but I don't believe in God. How can you be a Jew if you don't believe in God? You can't do this. To believe in God, in fact, it's not in my notes. Write it down. Look at it later. Romans chapter 2, somewhere around verses 27 and 28, the Bible there says that a real Jew is the one who's been circumcised in the heart, who worships God in spirit. But the gospel went to the Jewish people first 2,000 years ago. The Old Testament prophets regarding the Jewish people in Israel. But God says right in the Bible, friends, listen, Isaiah 62 has never been fulfilled. It's future. So tonight you need to ask yourself, if you're anti-Semitic, if you are against the Jews, if you're BDS, whatever your thing is, and you're just anti-Jew, you're anti-Israel, and you won't hear anything about it. Do you understand that you're kicking against God's word? You say, oh, you're glorifying the Jew. Jewish people will drive you crazy. I know this. They are very difficult people to talk to. You should find a Jew and talk to them. They're fantastic to talk to. You just better have a whole truckload of patience. And by the way, if it's you talking to a Jew, you're going to have a lot of time, and you're going to ask them questions, and they're going to have anywhere between 2 to 5 opinions on their view. If you ask them, okay, defend what you just said, they'll turn right around and attack the very thing that they said they believe in, and then an hour later, they'll wind up telling you, I don't believe in everything I just got done telling you. I just wanted to see what your response would be. They're fascinating. Look, God says they're stiff-necked. But they are his people. That should encourage all the rest of us. If God can save a Jew, he can save you. He has picked them. They're his chosen people. You say, man, their history is brutal. Yes, every time they sinned against him, their history becomes brutal. Sadly, in human history, they've most often run away from him rather than toward him. But if you have a Bible, hold it up, and your iPad or phone counts for tonight. Hold it up. See this? Oh, that's a beautiful sight. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. You're holding this up right now because of the Jews. God used them to preserve the word. It's kind of bizarre, isn't it? He used them to preserve the word, and now they don't believe in it. But the world has it. Don't worry, there will be a day that they will turn. That day's coming. But understand this, that arriving means that when God is approaching the culmination of time, he will refocus again on Zion. The second thing is in verses 2 to 3, and that is God's longing, his longing or long-awaited purpose for Israel will be realized. He says, the Gentiles, that is the nations of the world, shall see your righteousness. Whose righteousness? Zion's. Look at verse 1. And Jerusalem's. Their real purpose will be realized.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. And don't forget, for the Christ follower, the end is actually the beginning. Won't you come to Jesus today? Arriving is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, if you'd like to donate to this ministry, we've made that real simple for you to do. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on either the Home tab or the Connect tab. Once you're there, just tap on the icon that's labeled Give and enter the dollar amount as a one-time gift or maybe a weekly or biweekly gift or as a monthly donation if you'd like. Under the Connect tab, there's also a way to connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. Just enter your name, your phone number, or email address, and we've provided a space there for any questions or comments that you might have. By the way, encouraging words for Pastor Jack, always very much appreciated, that's for sure. It's all right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Also available on the Real Life app. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.